Hey there, if you're thinking about getting out there on the road with the big rigs and driving a rig, an RV, or even a bus, then have we got great news for you.
Southwest Truck Driver Training can get you trained and rolling in as little as 4 weeks. They offer lifetime job placement support. They have special military programs, a financial aid program, including grant applications, and so much more to offer you.
Plus, they are family owned business right here in the Southwest. They have world-class training for Class A and B CDLs, hazmat endorsement training, RV training, and of course a refresher course if you need one. And did we mention they have three locations, which are Phoenix, Tucson, and North Las Vegas?
So we don't know why you're sitting there channel surfing on a TV when you could be learning to drive and roll down the road to earning a great living today.
Go to their website, SWTDT.com, to learn more about Southwest Truck Driver Training to shift your career into high gear.
Tell them you heard about them on the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show. We love them. You will too.
All right. Welcome to 18 Wheel Talk. I am your host, Patrick Heller. And today we are going to be talking to Ms. Janet McHugh. Say hi, Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Today, Janet is a veteran. She is an ex-hospitality manager. She is also an ex-truck driver and currently a health and beauty coach. So we got a lot of stories to dig out of Ms. Janet. And so stay tuned. 18 Wheel Talk.
A podcast from a 25-plus-year truck driver's point of view on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is just his opinion of the world and much, much more. Much more.
Sparked a revolution, and it started in my heart. I used to be king of my own thing, but then he gave me a brand new start.
Wow, so that was fun. Welcome to 18 Wheel Talk, Miss Janet.
Thank you, Patrick.
So yeah, that was some off-air shenanigans. loud music in the ear kind of jump starts everybody.
We almost had a podcast from the ambulance.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was that bad. Anyhow, Miss Janet is a vet. What branch of service did you serve in,
Miss Janet? The Army.
You were an Army vet.
Yes.
That is awesome. Hoo-ha.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. I know a few Army vets. I work with a few Army vets.
Thank them for their service.
They are sarcastic sons of bitches. How about you?
No, not at all.
No, never.
I'm sweet, not innocent, me. Pure, and wholesome. Just ask me.
I'm just a Southern girl.
That's right.
I would never do that. My mama beat my butt.
That's right.
How long were you in the military?
For a year. Got out for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, awesome. Do tell. What, if anything, can you tell us about your short stint in the military? About when were you in?
81, 82.
All right. So that was the Reagan era, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes.
I miss Ronnie.
I do, too.
Ronnie was definitely good people.
He was really good to the military.
So what in the military did you do? I know you were stationed in Germany, but what exactly was your job, if you can say it?
Highly classified.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's black lines all over these note papers.
Yes. I was military intelligence, which most people would say is an oxymoron.
It's not. military intelligence.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. News at 11.
Yes, pretty much. Best way to put it is I solved puzzles for a living that were in foreign languages. That's about as much as I can tell you.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You were basically a
analyst, crypt analyst.
Yeah. So basically, you broke their code and deciphered what the hell they were trying to.
Yeah, even when I couldn't speak the language, it was really
okay.
Cool.
I mean, it sounds interesting. That's why we're trying to pull this information out of you.
The best part was you went through a gate, past the security guard. You know, the 12-foot fence with.
You
the,
said Govinka Viking.
No, I mean. Like here in the States, even when you're in training, you go past the security guard with the Constantine wire on top. You're on a base already. And just to get into the training center, you go past the security guard, you walk down the sidewalk, then you go past another security guard to get into the building.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Yes, and then to get into
your... Follow the yellow brick road.
Good that. Then to get into your office, you go past another security guard who opens the vault door. And the vault door is like 3 foot thick, and it's like... And you're like... And the door opens.
Sounds like you hear elevator music.
Yeah, in your head you do. You make all the elevator jokes, and then you go inside the door, and then the door closes, and it's like, okay, man, if there's a power outage, we are, yeah.
You're screwed.
We're in the dark.
You're done. Fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can swear on this. We're labeled explicit. I don't care what anybody says.
I care what my daddy says.
You slip up and swear one time, they label you forever.
Yeah, so, I slip up and swear so one time, my daddy would hear it.
We are 18 or older podcast.
Yeah, except for my father.
It's all good, Dad. We love you.
Yeah. Yes, we do. So, yeah, it was really interesting. I really enjoyed it, but I busted up my knee, and they were offering me a medical out, and I was a newlywed. I was going to one continent, my husband to another, and it was kind of a medical out, or I could just take an early out, and I had pressure from him and family, so I took the early out, and I shouldn't have, because if I had taken the medical or chosen to stay in and have knee surgery, things would have turned out better.
Right,
but
right.
You do things when you're, I was actually 19. I think I had just turned 20. 20 years old. You're dumb. I was 20. You're young. You're stupid. And, you know,
I've been there. Believe
me,
I was your age once.
Yes.
Many years ago, back when I was young.
Yes, yeah. But it was great experiences. I loved living in Germany. Did not live on post. Lived in an apartment that we rented. And absolutely loved having a German landlady who didn't speak English. And most people say, oh, yeah, I bet that was fun. But it was.
I bet it was. It was a challenge. That's
because
the way I would look at it.
I went out and bought two small handheld German-English dictionaries. Had German on one side, English on the other. And I would sit. I gave her one and sit at the coffee table every morning, drink coffee with her, and look up words and learn German while she
now,
learned
is
English.
Is it coffee in Germany or is it cafe?
Cafe.
You had cafe latte.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a latte bad thing.
No.
It was coffee and it was dark.
The spoon stood up in it.
I know, and it's wonderful. My spoon still stands up in my coffee, and that's how coffee's supposed to be.
Coffee.
That's this my segment, morning
this,
song.
This segment is brought to you by coffee.
Yeah, right. That's my morning poem.
I know, right? Coffee.
My morning poem has been brought to you by coffee.
Sounds like a jingle.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, okay, it was really interesting way to learn German, and I did other stuff while I was there, too.
Well, that's awesome. So you are a veteran.
Yes.
All right. From there, all right, let's take us down your yellow brick road, so to speak.
Well,
where did you go from there? You know, newlywed, young and dumb and
in love.
So to speak.
One of the nice things about being in Germany was TDYs and bivouacs and everything else, which meant that of the several years we were in Germany, we spent about a total combined of 40 days together.
What?
I know. So it was like being single in Germany.
Nice.
Which sounds really bad, except it kind of made our marriage last longer, in my opinion, which not necessarily a good thing in the long run, but it made me more independent at a very young age, and it made me learn other things and find other ways to make money. For instance, I was always really good at baking and cooking and sewing and that type of thing. And I started giving classes through the USO, teaching other women how to sew.
While you were still in Germany.
While I was in Germany.
Because you got out.
In Germany.
But you stayed in Germany.
Correct.
Because he was still in.
Yes.
And this is your way of making money on the side. Because
yep.
What do you do?
Yeah, because I was bored.
Oh.
So I started doing catering.
That's why you do stuff.
Yeah, I started doing
catering.
Oh, sorry.
So you started doing catering in Germany.
In Germany.
That had to be awesome. I you watch movies and you see, like, you know, I watched Sons of Anarchy, and when they went to Ireland, I was like just blown away. I would love to go, you know. So it's like you see different things, different shows, different movies, and you're like, damn.
What was neat, well, I loved Germany for a beginner, but what was really neat was I fell into catering by accident. I always hosted big parties with all our friends and all the wives and everything. And some friends of ours were getting married. Jeff was an American military. Gabi, his fiance, was German.
Uh-huh.
And their caterer backed out 3 days before the wedding.
Oh, no.
I was already making her wedding dress as my gift to them.
You made her wedding dress?
Yes.
Damn.
And she knew I knew how to bake cakes and everything because I had already done the engagement cake for her. And so she came to me and says, will you make our wedding cake? And so, well, of course I will. And I catered it. So with 3 days' notice, I catered her their entire
You just whipped
wedding.
Something up. You just went, boop.
I whipped up a 5-tier heart-shaped cake with 5 little heart cakes around it. So, yeah, I whipped it up.
Yeah, you just whoop.
Whipped it up with
whipped
roses
it up and
all
said,
over. And
poof, here you go.
Yeah. I made a lot of use of my landlady's ovens
and her freezer. I was going to say, you were nonstop for 3 days.
3 days of nonstop
three
baking.
3 days of nonstop. Non-stop baking. I could eat 3 days nonstop. I'm a good eater. I'm not a good baker.
But what I discovered when I went and made this was at the time in Germany, they really didn't have all the different colors of food coloring. So when I did this cake that had roses that were red and yellow with green petals and blue flowers and all the different, they had never seen anything like it.
They're like, what
so
is
I got,
this? Was ist das?
I was really popular all of a sudden for making cakes.
Yeah, so now you're busy beaver.
I got really busy. I was making 2 or 3 cakes a week.
A week.
Just for people that
wanted. My non-existing sweet teeth are gone.
Yeah. Birthday parties.
They're shaking in their boots.
Birthday parties, weddings, anniversary parties. Everybody that, friends of friends that were German had me baking cakes for them.
Now I want a cake.
Which, you just had a cake. Which was funny because all I liked was German pastries.
Oh, God. Am I God. You went there, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Then I came stateside.
Then you came stateside.
And continued.
Okay. Oh, and continued with your catering.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We went to Boston, Fort Devens, Mass., which no longer exists.
Okay.
And I continued catering. And I also got a job working for a guy that owned, a billionaire, that owned like multiple businesses, horse farms, that type of stuff.
Right.
And I took some classes on DBase 3 Plus and Lotus 1, 2, 3. That's how long ago it was.
Okay, so you got into
computers.
Computers. I mean, yeah, that's. And I grew up in that era.
I went in and fixed his computer system. He had someone that messed up his computers, and because I had just taken all these college courses.
You knew what the hell.
I knew what to do.
You knew what to unscramble his previous guys screw up.
Yes, I fixed it. So I did computers for a while and really enjoyed it. So that's what I did while I was in Boston. Worked on computers and catered.
And made sweet stuff. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Lots. Yeah. Yes.
What a combination.
Yes, it was.
Don't get any of that sweet stuff on that computer. I just done fixed that.
Yeah, it was two entirely different until my boss.
Yeah, that's like on two entirely different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
how?
Well, because I only worked for Bernie, Bernard McDonald. I only worked for Bernie for probably 30 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So that left me spare time. And so I did like 20 hours a week catering, so
okay.
It worked.
Okay, all right, well, that makes sense.
And then Bernie met cakes.
Oh,
and then Bernie wanted cakes.
And then Bernie wanted cake. Oh, I get it, okay.
So, which was real nice because I could like double the price for him. And I'm I jokingly
but then
it, told
you
him
could,
I was
you could have opened a store and he would have named it Bernie Cakes.
Well, no, but he offered to put me in business when my husband got out of the service. He wanted me to stay up there in that area, Air Mass, Boston Mass area. And I wanted to, but my husband had a hissy fit, and so we didn't.
He had a hissy fit. He's like, no, I don't wanna.
Yeah, which was a shame because he was offered a job back in 87 making about $75,000 a year doing the same job.
And unbelievable. And he turned it down?
And he turned it down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just could have screamed.
What a screwball.
And then we came to Phoenix.
Phoenix. Two floors south of hell.
That's right.
Welcome. All right, so you came to Phoenix.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a dash cam in your semi and you went and spent all that money on it, do you really think that you and your truck are protected against John Q. Public? We don't. That is why we recommend Rexing USA cameras and equipment. Whatever it is you are looking for, whether it be a dash cam, a body cam, a trail cam, or similar, they probably have it.
Nearly every new vehicle coming out has a dash cam, and there is a reason for it. Litigation. Yes, welcome to America, the land of litigation. So the best thing you can do is to protect what you own with video and pictures.
And their dash cams, boy, let me tell you, their cams do a lot. They have 170-degree ultra-wide-angle lenses that will automatically lock in the last video if it feels a vibration from an accident. It has a supercapacitor battery backup that is better than lithium for extreme heat or cold. Add in loop recording, a mobile app, and parking monitoring, and more.
And yes, now you have a really great package for this company of cameras. So come on, check it out at 18wheeltalk.com/dashcam. That's 18wheeltalk.com/dashcam.
Where he never worked again.
Oh, God. All right, so what did I do? What did you do when you got to screw your husband? I mean, well, you did.
Yeah,
obviously,
well, yeah.
Obviously you did. But anyways.
Anyway, me.
He's just not a part of the story because, obviously, he's a deadbeat. He's a dumbass.
Gone, but anyway.
He's
history.
He's no longer a part of your...
life. My karma.
Lifestyle. Karma, yeah. And so you came here to Phoenix.
And I
lived two floors south of hell. Did you take the elevator?
No, I took,
it's hot
I
in
took
the elevator.
The slow boat.
It's hot in the elevator.
I took the slow boat.
Took the slow boat from China. Actually, took the slow boat from Mass.
My drive from Phoenix was an AMC Gremlin 3-speed.
Oh, my God.
I had 2 6-month-old Doberman puppies in the back.
Oh, my God. I bet they were beautiful.
They were, and in the front seat, I had a peek-a-poo, a female peek-a-poo, Pekingese poodle mix.
Where do people come up with names of these breeds of dogs?
I don't know, but it gets better. Wait.
I've heard of a pug poodle mix. I've heard
let me finish.
A Shih Tzu something mix that sounds like poop.
That's a Shih Tzu. But anyway.
I bet she pooed.
I had a peek-a-poo.
Okay, a peek-a-poo.
With 2-week-old puppies in the front seat.
Oh, my God.
And my...
Doberman puppies or peek-a-poo puppies?
Peek-a-poo puppies.
Oh, Jesus.
4 of them. And my female Doberman kept stealing the puppies and taking them to the back.
Because that's what she do.
Because that's what she do. She liked puppies and the mommy let her.
Oh.
So finally I ended up with all... both Dobermans, the male, the female, who were brother-sister, and the female peek-a-poo and all 4 of her puppies in the floorboard passenger seat of the AMC Gremlin.
Oh, my God.
Boston to Phoenix.
That's a crowded space.
Yes, it was.
Hoo-wee.
It was a fun trip.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
But
wow.
I got good gas mileage. Those AMC Gremlins back then, man, I was getting 40 miles an hour.
I was going to say, yeah, back then they were the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a fun trip. But I got out here and ended up working like 3 jobs, stayed out here for a couple years, and then moved back to the Midwest, and just got tired of working multiple jobs. Okay. Nothing was sticking, and one day I walked into a steakhouse that was looking for a manager.
Everybody likes steak. You got everybody's attention now. You said
steakhouse.
He said steakhouse.
And it was a VFW steakhouse.
A VFW, a Veterans of Foreign Wars. Okay.
Steakhouse.
Yep.
And the managing director's name was Bill Bervin. I remember that. Really
big
nice
Buffalo
guy.
Buffalo Billy.
He was a big guy, too.
Big guy.
And I walked in and I applied, and he says, well, what experience do you have? And
what
I said,
can you do?
And I said, I have no experience.
I can make doggies make puppies.
No, but I told him, I said, I can cook anything you put in front of me, and I'm always up for a challenge, and I'm a hard worker, and I can learn anything as fast as you ever asked, and I'll just try it. I said, you put me on trial basis and I'll
just
prove to you.
Just give me a shot and I'll show you.
And
I'll show you.
He liked my confidence.
And you twirled your two guns and went.
I did not. But he gave me a chance. He says, I'll give you a 1 month trial. And if at the end of the 1 month trial, you're going to interview with the full board.
Ooh.
And if the full board approves of the job you've been doing, you've got the job. And at the end of the 1 month,
I'm assuming you got the job.
I got the job.
Well, yeah, okay. I've eaten some of your food.
It went from
yummy.
I went from having four jobs to having one job
because you had to do this one job.
Well, no, because I was making good money.
Well,
they paid
yeah.
me enough that I didn't have to work four jobs.
Well, that's well,
but then
that
what
means,
I
that means your deadbeat husband got a job.
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, I kind of figured
but
that's
what I did
why,
on the but then what I did,
he's a deadbeat.
But then what I did on the side was because they didn't have any desserts on their menu except Jell-O and pudding.
What?
Which I said was really lame.
What?
It had to do with the people that had been in charge in the past.
Wow. That's their mentality. It was
It was good enough.
It's cheap. It's Jell-O. It's pudding. Who doesn't like Jell-O?
That was pretty much it. That's what their kitchen was putting out, and they were happy with it.
They were like,
and so.
Okay.
I made a deal with them that now that I had everything fine-tuned and making more money, I made a deal with a local butcher where I would go in and buy a half a cow at a time and help him butcher
what?
It. I learned to cut meat then.
Boy, you are so talented. I am learning so much from you. Stuff
things
I
you
knew
never...
and stuff what? I didn't know. What?
And so we ordered half a cow.
She knows how to butcher a cow.
And half a hog at a time.
I like ham, too.
And we started ordering all our produce from local farm stands and all our eggs and everything local. So we saved a ton of money. And then we took some of that money, and I, on the side, started baking about a dozen pies and one or two cakes a week.
Ooh,
and
what kind of pie were you making?
Everything you can think of.
Ooh.
French silk, lemon chiffon, apple pie, rhubarb pie,
lemon
strawberry pie, yeah, lemon meringue,
cherry pie,
yeah, all the berry pies, yes,
pumpkin pie.
Yes, pumpkin pie, you know my pumpkin pie, yeah, everything you can think of, cold pies in the season, hot pies in the winter,
yeah.
And
pie's a pie. I mean,
so the way we worked it out was I made the pies. I took all the cost on myself, and then I sold them by the slice, and then they made 10 cents a slice.
Whoa.
But I sold enough that it made it worth their while.
Of course. Yeah, I bet.
They made
you
a
put
lot.
A piece of pie in front of veterans. It's like, yeah, we like pie.
Yeah, well, because then
better
people
than pudding and Jell-O.
People went from steak and a beer to steak and a beer and pie and a slice of coffee afterwards.
Exactly.
So they sold the coffee and they made 10
exactly.
cents on that slice of pie.
Nice. That's awesome.
So we upped their sales.
It was a
and
win-win.
Happy.
It was yeah. a win-win-win.
Yes, it was.
Because you won.
And then we switched over from getting rid of our leftover salads and stuff like that. We took them down to the local nursing home.
Oh.
And we treated the local residents of the local nursing home to
oh,
treats.
I
we
bet they like
up,
that.
Yeah, we fixed them up fancy and made them nice plates and did little parties for them.
Wow.
It was fun.
You are just so informative here.
I try to be.
All right, so.
From there, I moved
so
to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
This is where you, all right, so in the beginning of this podcast, I said you are a veteran and then you are an ex-hospitality
This is where I got into hospitality.
This is where everything kind of all ties in here.
Yeah.
So you moved to
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with a steakhouse.
State.
Yeah, I went into a steakhouse and went in as an assistant manager of a big steakhouse.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. How big? How big was it?
They seated about 400 people.
Hey, damn.
Yeah, it was big.
It was a big house.
I stayed there for about a year, and then I went to a truck stop.
Toot, toot.
Stayed there.
Uh-huh. Chuck, I like that. I like how you did that. You know, truck stop, trucking podcast, kind of, sort of, you know. And it's all good, people.
Racing-themed truck stop. And
it doesn't matter. You say steak, and it's like, oh.
I know. I worked for Bill and Bev, loved them to pieces, stayed with them for a couple years. And then a chain restaurant opened up, and I went in and applied for manager. And it was a fun interview because when I went in a suit with my briefcase and my portfolio together.
You went in there like, your shit didn't stink, and I'm getting this job whether you want me to or not.
Correct.
That's the attitude people kind of have. These millennials, they just think they're going to walk in there, and they're just going to hand them a job. It's like, no. You got to work it. Sell yourself.
And the guy in charge, well, one of the guys in charge, walked in and said, did you want to apply for waitress or hostess?
You said, with this briefcase, what are you, nuts?
No, actually, I'm going to swear. I looked at him.
What?
And I said,
Shh.
I said, bitch, please, I'm applying for manager.
Is that what you said to him?
I did.
Bitch, please. Did you?
Did
you give him the southern twang?
I just looked at him and said, bitch, please, I'm applying for manager. Who do I talk to?
And you looked at Julie. You had six eyes.
Pretty much. I'm like,
oh, that's awesome.
With this manicure, do I look like a cook or a waitress?
Hello.
And a guy in the back named Brad Lochner stood up and started laughing, and he clapped his hands a couple times. He says, you're talking to me.
Come on over, girl. Let's talk.
And he hired me that day.
What's your qualifications? I'm ex-military. I shot guns and stuff, and I want to be your manager.
I showed him my qualifications.
Uh-huh.
And
he was like, damn, girl.
He said that he had some people that were more qualified on paper, but nobody that was more qualified with attitude.
Nice. Nice. So you showed him your attitude.
Yeah, I showed him that.
Rolled up your sleeves and showed him your guns.
I was wearing pink pearls at the time. I didn't show him no guns.
You know, it's a figure of speech, lady.
The only guns I got were in the purse that day.
Like I said, you rolled up your sleeve and said, yo, boom.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to show you I can do this job.
I was going to show him the gun. I would open the pocket
yeah,
and show him the pistol.
You just pulled out the pearl handle one and said, look at this.
It's
cute.
Pink pearl handle. Yeah.
Isn't this cute? Matches my purse.
It did. Oh, it's one I had with me that day.
I bet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I did.
Oh, brother. All right, so how long were you in the hospitality biz?
I stayed with them until 2003.
Wow, it's getting smoky in here.
I know, I had to think about that.
There's no smoking in the studio.
2003.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after that? Was this where you get into trucking?
That's where I got into trucking.
And what drew you into the trucking industry?
I always wanted to be a truck driver.
Always. Always. Ever since when?
Ever since I can remember.
And that's when?
When I was 2 or 3 years old. My dad was a truck driver.
Uh-huh.
He started when he was 14.
Okay.
And he retired at 84 from over the road and 86 from driving all together.
Damn.
From truck driving. He still drives pickup.
Wow.
And he'll be 92 this year.
Wow. That's a long. I'm like, I got to take my. I can't count that high on my fingers and toes.
Yeah,
that's a long. He's got miles under his. I want to pluck his brain and get some stories from
him. Yeah, and you know he still drives because he still drives from Illinois to Colorado and then down here to Phoenix and then back.
Yeah.
He did that last year.
I know.
He's going to do it this year, too.
God bless him.
And both my grandfathers drove.
All right.
And I believe my great-grandfather, McHugh, my dad's dad, drove, too.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So, you say you like tools. Now, are we talking about normal people like them or Tim the Toolman Taylor like them? Because if you're like the two of us, it is definitely in the Tim the Toolman Taylor's range. I have never been bored when shopping for tools.
So, here's what you do. Head on over to 18wheeltalk.com/JBTools. It will take you to their site, which will normally give you a discount, a chance in a giveaway, join the rewards club, or something really great like that.
Then start browsing to your heart's delight. Whether you're looking for power tools, hand tools, 25-ton jack stands, or gardening tools, they have got you covered.
So take a few minutes and follow the link, 18wheeltalk.com/JBTools, and jewel over a few tools while you're there. So you were a little girl when you were around trucks.
Yeah. As long as I can remember, there's been semis in my life.
What's the one story you remember from being a wee one?
Getting in trouble.
Why? Why were you in trouble?
Well, my dad used to drive cab overs.
Okay.
And there was, I believe it was.
Now, if anybody's not familiar with what a cab over is, that's your, I always like to say, you're first to the accident.
Cause you're first to the accident.
You're sitting on the motor.
It's a smash nose where you're sitting right up on top of the motor. Yep. And the wheel, front wheels are right underneath.
Kind of like a city bus.
Yeah.
That's the best way these millennials are going to understand. It's like a city bus front.
Yeah. Flat nose.
Yep. Flat nose, first to the accident.
Yes.
Whoop, whoop.
And when you,
and coming
when you
in.
Open it to work on the engine, the whole cab flips forward.
Right. Yep.
So one of my earliest memories is being told how when I was real little that one Sunday after church, me and my little ruffledy britches and my little white and pink ruffledy britches and my little pink dress and my little pink bows in my hair.
Sunday ruffledy go britches. To meets.
Yeah. My dad and I guess grandpa and some of my uncles were all out working on the truck, and one of them picked me up and put me up on top because I always wanted in on the action. And someone snapped a picture of me sitting up on top of an engine while someone was working on it.
Oh, nice.
And that's not what my mama had to say. She did not say, oh, nice.
She's like, oh, isn't that nice? You soil your britches that day?
Oh, no. She didn't yell at me.
Your mama laid the smacketh down on them guys.
Yes, I believe my little 5'2" mama,
I bet she walked up there, grabbed them by the ear and said, what are you doing?
I believe she would have said something like, damn it, Jimmy, I'm mad at you.
I bet.
That was my mama's version of cussing.
Damn it, Jim.
Yes. I'm pretty sure she said damn it that day.
Oh, great. I wish I could have met your mother. Oh, yeah. My God.
She had a great smile.
I'm telling you, I bet you she'd have gone out there and whooped all their asses. Then they would have backed right down from her feisty little mm-mm.
She probably just put her hands on her hips and said their names.
Full names.
Oh,
not just a first name, not a last name. Full middle initials, yes. Everything.
Yes. James Anthony?
I bet you.
Yes.
Boom! Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. You get my daughter down off that truck right now.
And you go clean them britches.
Those britches never cleaned again.
guess they got handed down.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the story that I heard from my mom's sister, my Aunt Fern.
Nice.
And may she also rest in peace. I loved her so much.
All right. So this is 2003, 2004. You got your CDL.
Yep.
And you said, Dad, I'm going into trucking. And he said,
hell no.
He said, oh, hell no.
Which is the same thing he said when I graduated high school and told him the same thing. Which is why I joined the Army 6 months later.
He said, oh, I'm going to the Army then. Don't want to let me drive truck. I'm out of here. Well, I'm going to go shoot guns.
Well, I did wait. I graduated high school, and about 18 months later, finally joined the Army. I'm like, I'm just
going
to join.
Screw it. I'm going to the Army then. You won't let me drive a truck? I'm going to go shoot guns and shit.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Let me guess. It's forbidden. You can't.
That's forbidden.
You cannot go into the Army.
Yes, he didn't want me in the Army.
It is forbidden.
He was in the Army, so he didn't want me in the Army.
I was going to say, he's ex-military. He's got to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are not. No, I was in it. No, hell
I
no.
I drive trucks. You're not driving trucks. I was in the Army. You're not going to be in the Army.
It's full button.
Yeah, there's some stories about him getting demoted because of his temper.
I bet. Like I said, I want to sit down with a recorder and just listen to him tell stories.
You and me both.
I will splice together a podcast if I have to. Yes. I don't care. So, all right, so
I joined or got my CDL and made some phone calls while I was in class getting my CDL every day at lunch while the guys were out, you know, eating and going to Stewart's for hot dogs.
You were calling around trying to find a CDL job.
I was digging through the yellow pages and calling everybody under trucking companies local and dialing them up using the phone there in the break room on the class and
saying, "Hi, y'all. Just wondering if you're looking for drivers."
Yep. I was. Told them when I was due to graduate, and are you looking for drivers?
And they said?
Most of them said no, and occasionally one said come apply, and the ones that said come apply, I went and applied and found one that said yes, and come talk to me when you get your license, and I'll give you a chance. If you can pass the test, we'll hire you. And so I did. I went and applied, and all 30-some guys stand there laughing at me because I'm smaller than any one of them, and they're laughing at me while I'm hooking up an oil tanker that they left as filthy as they could.
Of course. It's a challenge.
In
hello.
The absolute dirtiest truck they could absolutely find.
They said, all right, chick, here you go. Yeah.
And me with my long blonde hair.
Don't get your nails dirty.
They told me, don't get your nails dirty and be careful of that long hair. And I said, well, do you have a ladies' room where I can go change clothes out of, you know, this? And they were surprised when I came back in coveralls with gloves and my hair pulled up.
Yeah, they were like, oh, damn, she come prepared.
Yeah, they were surprised.
So basically, you rolled up your sleeves and said, watch what I hear. Hold my beer. Watch what I could do.
Yeah, kind of.
That's awesome.
I smoked and said, am I allowed to smoke on the job? And they just, yeah, but you know that six oil. I'm like, yeah, but it's not flammable. I know the rules.
Yeah, you got to light it with a match.
I'm like, you have to light six oil. It's in the tank.
It's like everybody says that, you know, it's like diesel fuel. Yeah, don't smoke around it. You got to light that shit with a match. It'll put a cigarette out.
I can tell you stories about cigarettes and diesel fuel.
You know, I mean, come on.
So I went and did my driver's test. And
it's gasoline, the fumes that will ignite off a cigarette.
No
diesel.
Problems with that. And did my whole everything with them and got hired on the spot. And the guys all just stood there with their mouths gaping open. Couldn't believe I got the job.
They were like, oh.
They tried running me through
this
ring
hot,
that
this
first
hot chick is putting us to shame. What?
Yeah, they tried putting me through the ringer the first week or two.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's like, that's what you do with any new hire. You gotta bust their, excuse the French.
Bust their balls.
You gotta bust their balls and find out where their breaking point is.
Yeah, and they gave me the tanker that had all the oil tankers have 100-pound hoses.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, you need to take that hose and drag it over there, and then when we're done, you gotta put it back up there. And they thought I was stupid enough to try and lift a 100-pound hose.
Uh-huh.
Mama didn't raise no fools, at least none named Janet.
Yeah, right.
So
I always loved that.
I drug it down.
Mama
there.
Didn't raise no fool, and she sure as hell ain't name any of them Janet. Now maybe my brothers, maybe.
Yeah, I can name a few of them.
But never one named Janet. So you showed them.
And I said, you need to show me how to use the coupler because I'm not going to make mistakes. And so they showed me how to couple and how to, you know, get everything running, and when we're done,
hook it up and take it apart.
And when we're all done, they said, okay, it's empty, and then I shut the valve off, and they thought I was just going to disconnect it, and I'm like, no, you got to run the oil out of the hose. And so I grabbed a big towel, and I grabbed it underneath the hose and ran the hose from the tanker all the way down to the coupler in the ground, and they kind of looked at me like, have you done this before? And I said, no, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah, there's remnants in this thing.
Yep, so I did that.
That's
so
why these trucks are freaking dirty, you dumbasses.
Yeah, so I did that and got all the oil out of the hose that I could, and then I shook it off, and then I unhooked it.
Shake it off.
Then before I lifted the hose, I capped it because they have caps that you can use. So I capped the end, and then they're like, how are you going to get that back up there? They're like, you can't lift that whole hose. And I looked at the guy training me. I'm like, well, your old ass can't hook it up either. You can't pick that whole hose up at once.
I want to see you do it.
So he says, well, let me see you get it up there. And so I slid it over next to the truck, and then I picked up a section and hooked it up onto the side of the trailer. And then I picked up the next section, you know, because it's all one big hose, but you can do it in sections. And he's just looking at me. He's like, how'd you learn that? I'm like, I'm blonde, not stupid.
Yeah, hello.
So then he started helping me. He says, well, you did exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, we were just testing you.
Well, and then he told me. And then he got real helpful. After that, he was real helpful. And then
like, all right, she ain't stupid.
Yeah.
So she gave me her attitude, said, I'm blonde, I ain't stupid, dummy.
That driver's name was Dan, and I trained six oil with him. And then after I trained with him, I trained gas with Steve Peterson. You've heard me talk about Steve.
Yep.
And pretty much the same thing. But then Steve said he knew that I was ready to go solo when we pulled into I can't think of the name of the town. It's a college town in Massachusetts.
Right Adams? There on
Adams, Massachusetts. And all these college kids are in my way. And I was trying to be real patient and everything. And they're just...
Yeah, they just walk across that. They don't care. It's like they got the right of way
But nope, they were... I was past that. And I was past all those crosswalks. And those kids were still getting in my way. And I finally leaned out that window. And I laid on the air horns. And I hollered at them, "Get the out of my way, you little assholes."
And then you say assholes.
Yeah, I know, because I'll say that word, but I'm not saying the first one.
Goddamn assholes, you're going to college. Get out of the way, you brainiacs.
Yeah, and they all stopped and looked at me. I'm like, I will run you over.
Yes, I'm bigger than you.
And they all moved.
I bet.
And a couple of them just kind of looked at me. I'm like, yeah, you.
Yeah, you dumbass, move.
And then I put it in gear and started moving. That's when Steve picked up his cell phone and called the boss and said she's ready to be let loose.
Yeah.
She cussed at somebody.
Hire her. She cussed. She cussed out the kids.
She cussed out the kids. You can let her go now.
You cut her loose. Let her do her thing. Let her do her thing.
For a long time, that was his favorite story about letting me loose.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know we have our Twitter page, 1-8 Wheel Talk. And I know we posted a question on our Twitter page and our Instagram at 18 Wheel Talk. Mm-hmm. And it was on Our Lady Drivers. I put it out there. I wanted to get comments from all our lady truckers. I have you in studio today, and I'm going to post the same question to you. And my question was to all the lady truckers, what was the hardest thing when you first got into trucking? What was the hardest part? Was it the test for your CDL? Was it being away from home? What was the hardest thing in your mind?
Oh, that's an easy
answer.
When you
got started in the trucking.
Well, first of all, I absolutely loved driving a truck.
Well, being that you're from a trucking family, I mean, yes, it's kind of second nature. Some people, it goes hand in hand. But being a female in the industry does pose challenges versus the males in the industry. And I always posted that to all. I mean, I know a lot of women truck drivers, and I've never asked them, hey, what was the hardest part? Because I know me being new, you know, it was just hard being out there on the road.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Driver, if you haven't tried any of Mother Trucker Yoga's products, have we got news for you. The news is you are missing out on some great products that really do work. So you're probably sore from a long day and just don't know where to even start looking, right?
Well, driver, stop right there. You don't have to wonder anymore. These products were all designed with the professional truck driver in mind. And the Stiff Mother Trucker Pain Relief Cream is 100% natural. As in, all the junk that you don't need on your body is not in it. It is paraben-free, gluten-free, sulfate-free, and artificial dye-free.
Probably made right here in the USA. Road-tested, trucker-approved.
It relieves sore muscles, soothes pain and inflammation from bee stings and insect bites. It calms that back pain from driving those long, hard roads. Helps alleviate foot pain, helps reduce wrist pain, elbow pain, and stiffness in the neck and shoulders from poor sleep or overuse.
In other words, if your body is feeling bruised and bumped up from that ever-intensive truck driver life, then Stiff Mother Trucker Pain Relief Cream is the answer to what you are asking. Just ask the crew at A&E Shipping Wars. They will let you know.
So, go to 18wheeltalk.com/resources and look for Mother Trucker Yoga to find this and many more great products.
See, and that was easy for me. The hard part was...
Well, you're ex-military. You're, you know, you've been away from home. It's like me, I'd never been away from home, never been out of the state I lived in at that time. And so I think the hardest part for me was just learning, A, where I got to go, B, be on schedule, C, find my way back home.
Well, for me, as a woman driver,
okay,
it was, I got the same attitude from male drivers, and I got the same thing from waitresses at truck stops when I would try and sit in the driver's section.
Uh-huh.
It would be male drivers on the CB would think I was in a car, and they would be like, oh, are you a lot lizard just out here looking for some? Or are you just out driving truck for now so you can find yourself a husband? And then in going into a truck stop and having sitting down at the counter for truckers and having a waitress come up and saying to me right to my face, we don't serve lot lizards here.
I've just been like, come see my rig, I'll show you.
Yeah, I would. I did a lot of times. I usually asked for the manager at that point, showed him my CD. I'm like, now you're going to give me my meal for free.
Yes.
I always got my meal for free.
Of course. That's what they get for
that. I'd be like, oh, thank you for asking that. Can I see your manager?
Because yeah,
you're feeding me for free. And that's the times I always ate a steak.
Of course. You're going to go.
Having the biggest steak available.
I'm real hungry tonight. Yeah. I wanted that 32-ounce T-bone steak.
My dog really appreciates it too.
And you're packing that shit to go.
Yeah, but that was the thing, is people never assumed that I was out there to make money, and I was, and I made really good money.
I know a lot of female truck drivers, and they're these tiny little things driving these huge trucks, and you know damn well that if it's difficult for somebody, so a male at a certain height to do things, I know it's even more of a challenge for some women. And that's my thing, is women can do anything a man can do. Sometimes they can do it better because I think they're better listeners. You know, I mean, I was a welder, and I knew some female welders that could weld better than the males because they listened to the instructors a hell of a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always said they can do anything that they want to put their mind to, but there's always challenges for them. How did, you know, what was that main challenge and how did you overcome that? You know, that,
yeah.
It's
like I said, my challenge was the assumption that I wasn't there to earn a living, which is why no matter what company I worked for, I always pushed myself really hard to become a trainer really quick.
Right.
So that I could prove that I could take all the overtime away from the guys.
Right.
And I did. And yeah. I took all the cherry loads, like, with the oil company, I took all their overtime and the trainer position within 3 months.
Nice. They were like, hey, I'll show you.
When I
may be small.
And I might be the chick.
I might be that girly looking one, you know, but, you know, I'll show you.
Yeah, and they'd say, what are you going to do when you break a nail? I'd say, get it fixed.
Get it fixed. Duh.
The overtime pays for this manicure, thank you.
It's like, come on, fellas, really? I'm blonde. I'm not stupid.
When I drove
I'm
over the road.
Than you.
I took those California loads because they paid an extra for driving into California, extra for going into L.A. They paid us extra for going into Long Island. They paid us extra for going across those bridges.
When I was over the road,
I took all of those loads because they paid extra.
Yeah.
They paid us extra for going out of Montreal. I took those loads because the guys wouldn't. And I'll be like,
because you got paid extra to go into these cities where
people, trucks, Chicago.
Yeah, trucks just don't belong in some of these cities.
And
the cities weren't built for trucks. Let's put it that way.
The rail yards in Chicago backing across those rails. My poor phone. Backing across those. Those rails.
Uh-oh.
Backing across those rail yards were not meant for semis to be backing across into docks for them.
No, no.
So, yeah, it was tough, and we got paid extra to do it, you know? So
that
took that away.
Pay for your phone?
That helped pay for my phones.
How many phones committed suicide?
Only three.
What? You didn't think to learn from the first two? It took three.
It took three. Well, I bought a better clip.
Blame it on the clip.
I'm one of those drivers that no matter what the weather is, when I back up, I always roll my windows down.
Yep.
Because I just got it. I don't want anything in the vision. I don't want anything bothering my mirrors.
Yep.
And I always had my phone clipped in the visor. And when you back over railroad tracks, you kind of bounce. I don't care how big and beautiful that Peterbilt. Oh, I loved my truck.
Yeah,
was.
I don't care how good that suspension is, air ride or not, you're still going to bounce a little.
And the first time it bounced, I'm like, I didn't even realize it went outside, and I'm like, couldn't find my phone.
Where's my phone? Crunch.
No, I didn't even hear it. It's like I couldn't find it, and then one of the guys working outside, he told me to pull forward a little bit, and then he scooped it up in a dustpan and handed it to me in a bag.
I found your phone, lady.
Then I went to that truck stop just inside Indiana there off of
80. Him the bag of dust and said, can you fix this?
I picked up the Sprint, and I said, I have phone insurance, and they looked at it, and they're like, oh, wow.
Oh, damn. What'd you do, run it over?
Well, I told
well,
them.
Yeah, kind of.
So they replaced it, and then like a month later, I did the exact same thing, but I got a better clip, and so then the third time was...
I got a better clip.
No, wait. The third time was... I put it on the dash because I thought, well, I'm not going to put it on the visor. I set it on the dash, and it slid right across the dash, bounced twice, went out the window again. And I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. Three times, they're not going to like me at Sprint no more.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. After that, I wasn't allowed to back with my phone in my truck at the rail yards.
You better.
They told me to put it on the bed.
Yeah, you might want to take these off of there and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, Sprint told me to not use the insurance for a while. They weren't sure that they liked it. I wasn't their favorite customer.
Well, I was just checking our Twitter feed to see how many women truck drivers from our fans posted questions.
Okay.
And it doesn't appear that anybody's alive on Twitter land.
Oh, that really stinks.
I know. Well, we're still fairly new.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there. And, you know, I got a lot of likes.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of likes on our question that was posted.
We'll have to put a comment that, you know, we're having so much fun.
Let me just see something here. All right. Do.
So, yeah, that was the phone story, and that was my challenge. 22
people liked the question,
nice.
But no, everybody's too shy to comment.
Nice.
It's all good. Like I said, I put it out there, you know, lady truckers out in Twitter land, what's the hardest part of getting started in the trucking industry for you? And that, in a nutshell, is
that was
why I posted the question. Everybody's is different. It's like where I work, whenever they hired a new driver, they always said, hey, Pat, we need you to take this guy on a road test. I'm like, why me? Because you know how to drive a truck. Obviously, I got a special set of skills. I feel like the taken guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that before we even got out of the industrial park that our facility was in, that I could tell them whether or not they're a good enough driver or not. Because I always took them for a ride through the industrial park first, make sure they could shift the damn truck before I took them out of the gate.
Yeah, that's always fun. When you find someone that can't shift.
If they can't shift the truck, we're not leaving the yard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Back under that trailer, let's drive around this building back into the dock where you pulled it from, you know, and then we'll go back to the office. Otherwise, hook up to the trailer. We're going for a ride, you know.
Yeah, I took someone for a test drive, and they hit the guardrail.
Yeah.
We need to go back to the dome.
Nope, not doing it. So they always had me be the guy to take people on road tests.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, that was fun.
Yep.
But anyways, how'd you get out of trucking? What happened? What'd you do? Who'd you kill?
My secret's out.
Did you ask Siri where to hide the body?
Yes. And it came up with eight replies.
Eight?
Eight replies.
If you
go ask Siri, where can I hide the body? It comes up with eight replies.
She will find a good spot to hide a body.
I didn't know that until I was watching
TV. I forgot to ask you about that. That's right.
That's okay.
You're not an ex-truck driver.
Well, because one day.
Way back yonder.
On the Chattahoochee. Anyway, my mama, before she passed away, may she rest in peace, asked me to go have a normal life and get off the road because I loved being an over-the-road driver.
Right.
You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. I love the scenery.
I just love the life.
I love the scenery. You got to see something
different. Yeah.
You know, granted, I ran a regional board and I was in the same states, almost going to the same places, but I always saw something different.
Yeah, you do.
Always something different struck me.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. So I went and applied, took vacation after my mom passed away, and I went and applied. At some, you know, about 6 months later, I'm like, okay, I promised
all
my
right,
mom.
All right, Mom, I'll do it.
So I went and applied.
You went kicking and screaming.
Yeah, pretty much, but a promise is a promise.
Ah.
Especially to your mama.
Yep. You promise your mama, you better.
Found a local job, and I'm like, well, I can do it. It's heavy lifting, but that don't scare me none. You know?
Nope, not you.
Anything a man can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
That was my motto.
Just need to get big enough gloves so she don't break her fingernail.
Yeah, so I went and got a job hauling building supplies. Curtain side. I'm talking heavy lifting.
Of course.
I never pulled a curtain side truck before, but hey, there's a first time for everything.
There is. There is always a first time for everything.
Yep. And definitely wasn't the same as hauling that chocolate, though.
Ooh, oh, chocolate.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, I learned about curtain side and lumber and building supplies and doors and windows and shingles and
oh my.
Asphalt. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Yeah, right. And then one day, January 15th of 2009, I was done with my run. And my boss asked me to, can you just make another quick little run up here to Lowe's and back? I'm sure everything's loaded. Just take it up and back. And 5 miles from the terminal, and I did. I took it up. And I was coming back, and well, didn't work out quite the way they planned. I had a backhaul, and of course, never empty. And
never empty.
I was coming down 9W through, I think that's Selkirk, New York.
Was it 9W up there?
No, yeah. It's 9W. That I do know. Yep. I can picture it perfectly. Just came past that gas station.
Yeah, I want to say that it's
that's Selkirk.
It's
no, Selkirk. And I just pulled out
That's Selkirk, New York.
Yep. Sorry, Selkirk, New York.
Because we broadcasting out of Phoenix.
Yeah.
Two floors south of hell.
So I just come out of the Lowe's, I think it was there, and
okay.
Turned right and headed down 9W and came up that next stoplight where there's that college or whatever on the left.
I think so.
And there's a crosswalk there, and then on the right.
Oh, you're talking Siena College.
Yeah, and then you can.
I get the gist of where you're at.
There's a stoplight, and then on the right you can go into
Selkirk. Though that's
anyway, whatever town that is.
Slips my mind. It slips.
So
my
anyway,
mind.
And then it's a T intersection. You yep. can't turn left there, but you can turn right. And yep. there was a truck headed towards me. I had a green light. He had a red arrow, and he decided he was going to take the red arrow anyway.
He said, "Screw this, I'm going."
So. 1:10 in the afternoon, 45 miles an hour, he decided to run a red light, and there was a little white Ford station wagon, a woman driving, brown hair, and 3 baby seats in the back seat. I remember that, on the right side. There was traffic behind her, and I was headed south, and the guy was headed north, and I couldn't stop because of the snow and everything on the road, and I was going a little bit under the speed limit.
Right.
But my choices were take the hit her, not an option.
Yeah.
Not an option.
Yep.
No woman with kids, no
nope.
way. And, or like I said, take the hit. So I took the hit.
You made a quick flip of the coin type of heads, it's a hit, tails, it's the minivan. And you said,
a little wagon, heads.
Heads won, so brace yourself.
Yeah, brace myself and don't Boom. Remember the impact. Don't remember the fact that I'm the one that dialed 911.
Wow.
But I always tuck my phone under my thigh when I'm driving. I just always do.
Right,
and
right. It's better than the visor.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, you learned your lesson.
Yeah, so
I'll tuck it under my leg. I won't lose
always,
it this time.
I always tuck it under my right thigh. And
it's not bouncing out the window this way.
And don't remember the impact. Don't remember talking on the phone. Don't remember the cop. Don't remember much, but I remember sitting in the back of an ambulance. And
where you weren't a bloody, you didn't go through the window, did you?
No, but I hit it.
You hit it. You hit
yeah,
it
I hit it hard. And my seatbelt failed.
Seatbelt works really good.
Not. Seatbelt failed, and the front end collision stuff that is supposed to make the impact thingy that's supposed to make the bumper stop make the airbag and the steering wheel go off
yep.
failed.
Oh, geez.
So that failed, and the seatbelt failed.
Double whammy right there. Yeah.
So I didn't go through the windshield, but boy, it was fun. It was in my face.
Yeah, I bet.
And the steering wheel was in my chest, and I fractured a lot of stuff and bounced my brain around in my head a few dozen times. For, you know,
traumatic brain injury.
That was my second, so it was fun.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, second time's charm.
You done messed up your file cabinet real good.
Yeah, and messed up my left leg and my hip. And my ribs.
Well, we are glad you were here to tell us the story.
And that's how I got out of trekking.
I get it. Now,
suddenly.
Now you became a health and beauty coach.
Yes.
What is this?
You
tell everybody you're not healthy, go get healthy, and I'm going to coach you.
No.
Oh,
people
okay.
that are people that are interested in healthy items or living a little healthier and just
okay, so it's in the ingredients.
It's in the ingredients.
And the way they eat.
And the way they eat. Okay. And it's not just a product, because I do represent a company that has some really healthy products.
Okay.
But there's other things to it also. It's in a lifestyle. It's
right.
in,
it's a change.
It's a change of how you eat. It's not just go buy this product and you're healthy.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom, you're done.
No, that's not
you're
it.
You're awesome.
It's me being there for people that also have questions down the road and giving them support and them picking up the phone or texting me or emailing me and saying, hey, how do I do this? And
hey, how did you do this?
And how did you do this? And how did you get past this? And how did you find out that you're allergic to milk? Oh, my God, I hate being allergic to milk because I love cheese.
And there's a lot of stuff that are made with milk.
I know. Cheese.
Ice cream. Cheese.
And I can eat it if I want the stomach ache the next day.
Well, you got to get that stuff for your belly that you take before you eat it so it doesn't make it hurt.
I haven't tried that yet, but anyway.
I forget what they call it, but anyway.
But, yeah, so... That and everyone always asks me what I. Everyone always asks me what my toxic water is because I call it toxic water. It's not toxic water; it's detox. But
it's
because
toxic.
I have a sense of humor, I call it toxic water.
It is toxic.
It's not. It's yummy. It's
all right. What's in your yummy
toxic water?
Yeah,
I put lemons and limes, and you call them salad pickles. The rest of the world calls them cucumbers.
Ugh, salad pickles.
And I put mint. But that's like the
But what's funny is I like pickles. I just don't like it. I don't like raw pickles. I don't like raw cucumbers. Ugh.
So anyway, but that's not all I put in it. Because
I just don't like the taste, all right?
Because if I've got apples in the fridge that I know I'm not going to eat, I'll throw some apples in it, or I'll throw some oranges in it, or anything at all like that. So it's a give and take on a daily basis as to what's in it. And I make it
depends on what's on sale.
Yeah, right? But I make it every day to 2 days because I'm the only one in our house that drinks it.
Yeah, I ain't going to touch it. Toxic.
I don't usually make more than about 3 quarts at a time, because if you leave it more than 2 days, it goes bad.
It's because it's got all them lemons in it. Makes it go sour.
No. Vegetables go bad.
Okay.
But what it does is it helps keep you hydrated and helps it so you're not getting a retention of fluids. Helps flush the toxins. That's why I call it toxic water. It helps flush the toxins.
Flush out your toxins.
Yeah. But I do other things, you know.
Yeah, you are a busy, busy lady. I know that. You got an iron in so many fires that if they all caught fire at one time, you'd burn the house down.
I know. Because I also like... Because I work out, and people always say, "Ooh, that's a cute outfit. Where'd you get it?" Oh, I bought it from myself. Yeah, I do.
So you sell
workout clothes and lounge clothes. Yeah, I have 2 clothing companies that I represent that are on my website.
Yeah, go ahead. Give your website a plug.
JanetMcCue.com. That's JanetMcCue.
.com.
I knew
I'd get you to sing the jingle.
I know. But everything I do is on there in some way, shape, or form.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, hopefully people that are listening to this podcast will go to your website and check out everything that you do.
My blog is on there.
You got a blog.
I have a blog.
It's kind of like a podcast without audio.
Yeah, and it, I have my YouTube channel attached there, and they can go and get recipes.
You do video. Oh, gosh, she's got recipes.
Yes.
What? Let's look at this. Let's look at this website here. Yep, she does. She's got a lot. She can teach you how to make money.
Yep.
Workout clothes, fashions. Got chatting with Mama Janet.
That's my blog.
Wow, she's even got a free skincare consultation.
Oh, I forgot about it. Yeah, I do skincare consultations too. But giddy sometimes up. On those skincare consultations, we get talking about healthy living.
Right.
And it kind of goes from skincare is from the inside out.
Yep.
Because if you take care of your
that's what they say. It's inside out, and if you take care of the inside, the outside looks beautiful.
Yep. If you try kinda and take like care you. Of your thank you. If you try and take care of your skin and don't eat healthy, your skin still looks like crap.
Boy, I need some help then. I work hard on this ugliness. Just saying.
You need to eat healthier. You can't live on pizza.
Oh, come on. It's got the four basic food. It's proven. It's in the triangle, in the shape of the pizza. Hello? All right, come on now. Come on. Everybody knows.
I love pizza. You know that. I just love it in little slices.
Pizza's great.
Little slices.
I'm telling you, it's in the food triangle. It's shaped like a triangle.
So the other thing.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So the other thing that I'm starting on my website. Is when people join the family.
The family.
The family.
The fam.
Yeah, the fam.
The familia.
La familia.
La familia. Anyways.
They can sign up, and I'm going to start putting out occasional coupons. I belong to some couponing sites that have discounts and stuff.
Help you eat healthy.
Help you eat healthy.
Save money.
Save money.
Nice.
And it's listed in my blog, too. My blogs will start having coupon sites on them. Coupon
awesome.
Links.
Awesome.
Like if I know a store that's had a flash sale.
Flash.
I'll send out an email with a flash sale on it.
Boom, boom, boom. It's just in.
That's my typewriter going off.
Your
with
typewriter,
flash sale.
Yeah. Flash sale.
Sound effects.
Giddy up. Sounds like a horse galloping into the sunset.
No, here's the horse. Ready?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I can do ponies, too.
Awesome. All right, well.
I think that's everything.
That's everything. All right, well, go check out. That wasn't hard, was it?
Oh, and I help you with your.
Yes, you help on.
Podcast.
Yes, my new sidekick, Janet, the co-host of 18 Wheel Talk. Boom.
That's 18wheeltalk.com.
What? Yeah, and we're also on, don't forget, Twitter and Instagram. At that little funky A symbol and a 1-8 Wheel Talk.
.com.
No, not dot com. Not for Instagram.
Oh, yeah,
and Twitter.
That's for Insta Twitter.
Insta Twitter face. No, we don't have a Facebook.
I don't need it. You're on Insta Twitter.
Yeah, we're on Instagram and Twitter.
At 1-8 Wheel Talk.
1-8 Wheel Talk. So be sure to sign up, follow us.
Like us, love us, follow us.
Go to our website, sign up to be on our email list. We will email you when new episodes come out, any contests, giveaways we might be doing, because God knows what we come up with. We come up with some pretty concocted things. This podcast today is sponsored by Hellraisers. That's HELLERAZORS.com. And if you go there and go to the website and click on the BCA tab, that is their breast cancer awareness tab. Any items purchased from now to the end of October, we're being told 50% of the proceeds are going to go to breast cancer research. So be sure to head over there and give them a look-see.
Do you know why it's going to breast cancer research?
Why?
Because we support boobies.
I love boobies.
I know you do.
Well, truckers love boobies, too.
Yes, they do.
Male and female.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to say goodbye. Say goodbye, Janet.
Goodbye, Janet.
Whoop, whoop. Remember, if you got a bitch about it,
we want to talk about it.
See ya.
Sparked a revolution, and it started in my heart. I used to be king of my own thing, but then he gave me a brand new start. And I know I am a sinner, and I believe that he died for me, giving my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm seeing the change in me.
So tell me, do you have one of those change buckets in your vehicle for fancy cafes?
Yeah.
And are you looking for a way to help support the show and just don't know how?
Well, we have great news for you. It is super easy and you can do it for as little as $3 a month. Yes, that's right, $3 a month. That means for the cost of a cup of coffee, you could support the show for a month. And if you order one of those foo-foo frappy thingamabobs with all those flavors and whipped cream and sprinkles on top, you could support the show for about 6 months.
Isn't that amazing? Saving you calories from that frappy thingamabob with all those flavors and whipped cream and sprinkled things on top, and help out the show. What's not to like about that?
So to do so, just go to 18wheeltalk.com/support, and you will see just how easy it is to support the show, and don't forget to pick out your fan emoji while you're there. That's 18wheeltalk.com/support.